Raph Epstein on ABC Radio Melbourne.
Brett, are we going to get significant changes, do you think, tonight after the National Cabinet?
It's for National Cabinet to decide, but I know that it's definitely up for consideration. We're reviewing where things have been heading. Obviously, there's been a hope that with the restrictions on international travel, that numbers could stabilise, and maybe we haven't had enough time to see those effects take place. But we're still on an epidemic trajectory. We're still heading, to 10,000 cases in another week. I don't want us to be there, and I'd love to see a really precautionary approach that, takes additional measures to control this before it gets away from us too significantly.
So when you say you'd love to see, I know that different experts can have good, decent disagreements based on the same evidence, but you personally would like to see more social controls imposed?
Yeah, look, I think I've flagged my desire to be more precautionary, to be really robust early, and that's really with a view that this is the time to make a difference to the curve. If you wait for really significant numbers that escape your ability to contact everyone, to find all of their close contacts, to make sure that everyone gets quarantined, if those numbers get enormous, it becomes much, much harder to manage that. And, if transmission is really widespread across the community, then catching up with all of the testing, all of the isolation that's required is also challenging. So even though I know the imposition of social distancing measures and the kind of things that are shutting down do hurt people, they harm businesses, they harm individuals, I think we'll be there in a couple of weeks anyway, and I would rather see the imposition of these measures earlier so that we can change the way that this is heading now rather than try to do it at a point where it's already escaped us.
So would that mean moving to something closer to what Britain's done? Only two people outside, no one non-essential on public transport, no one at a building site that isn't crucial infrastructure. Is that where you think we should get to more quickly?
Whether we go to that level that the UK has gone to now, I'm not sure, but there's a whole bunch of things that can be done both from a legal imposition, if you like, but also just getting the word out there, the awareness raising and the behaviour change communication that'll mean that people take this seriously, because you can put something in a legal directive, sure, but if people don't get it and they're still behaving as if it's normal life, then we're on the wrong path regardless. So, I think it's definitely a communications piece, but I think we should use the legal drivers that make that happen across the board as well.
You do a press conference every day. The federal chief medical officer or his deputy does one. The premier does one. Senior ministers do one. What else can you do to get messages across?
I think we can try and have messages that are really on loop, that people can disseminate more widely. It's one thing to watch the news at a particular time or to try and catch it at the end of the day, but it's another thing to have a video that you can share with everyone who you know needs to see it, to use all of the channels, all of the methods and media that disseminate it to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, and that they watch it and that it covers all of the key messages that we want. And there's complexity there, what it means to be in quarantine, what it means to be a case and needing to isolate, what social distancing means in a workplace, out in the community, for your organisation. There's a lot of messaging there, and I don't think it's enough to just try and cover it in a press conference. I've done six videos today. I hope they're out there in the next 24 hours. They cover all of these things from physical distancing to isolation, quarantine, as well as the very standard hand washing and cough etiquette.
When you're advising the Premier about further lockdown, further social restrictions, do you need to look at the economic impact, or you leave that to the politicians?
I definitely leave it to the politicians. I'm told to provide, if you like, purest public health advice, what is required to do the very best thing to protect lives.
But poverty kills, doesn't it? Isolation kills, multi-generational unemployment kills. How do you balance that?
Well, Cabinet is aware of all of that. They absolutely have it in mind. In many respects, we're talking about really bringing forward some measures that we know are bad for the economy. We know that they can harm individuals, but we're bringing them forward by a couple of weeks with the idea of not having catastrophic consequences just a month or two down the track. And so, you know, in a sense, the economic equation is much easier when you can reduce the number of deaths, the number of hospitalisations by thousands. That's literally what we're aiming for. And I think that, you know, that pays for itself several times over. Not that that should be our primary consideration either. But it, you know, it makes a huge difference if you've got tens of thousands of people hospitalised over the course of this versus a much, much smaller number.
Raf Epstein on ABC Radio Melbourne.